Good morning and welcome to Rich Thoughts for Breakfast.
Hallelujah. On July 11th.
Yes, this is my handsome husband, Harold, and I am his lovely wife.
Super fine.
There you go. And today's Do Not Fear scripture is from Joshua 8:1. Then the Lord said to Joshua, "Do not be afraid, do not be discouraged. Take the whole army with you and go up against, attack Ai. For I have delivered into your hands the king of Ai, his people, his city, and his land."
Hallelujah.
Can anybody say praise the Lord?
Praise the Lord.
That's right. So, today.
On today's call.
Yes.
We're going to talk about the question God wants us to answer.
Whoa.
Now, here's a quote you need to remember. "I'm no good to you, Dad."
Oh, I remember that.
When I read those words, I thought I was reading a script from a movie that I had seen at some time in the past. However, I wasn't Googling well-known Hollywood quotes. Instead, I was reading Psalm 6, verses 4 and 5.
That's right.
6, 4, and 5, Message Bible.
Fascinating.
Which says, "Break in, God, and break up this fight. If you love me at all, get me out of here. I'm no good to you, Dad, am I? I can't sing in your choir if I'm buried in some tomb." The Living Bible translation of that scripture, Psalm 6, 4, 5, says, "Come, O Lord, and make me well in your kindness. Save me, for if I die, I cannot give you glory by praising you before my friends."
Mm. Hallelujah. I read that recently in a devotion, and then we got on it, didn't we? I keep wondering why we were led to these two verses, especially since I ran into them. You know, but it was during my husband's morning time in prayer. God just works in mysterious ways.
Yes, he does.
And he led us through things that he wanted us to see, obviously for a reason. Truthfully, we were trying to figure out why God had led us to the passages of Scripture. They didn't really have anything to do with finance or success, which is usually what we're talking about. But, you know, the phone rang.
Yes, it did. And a good friend of mine was on the line.
That's great.
He runs an internationally known ministry and wanted my advice on a couple of matters since I've done consulting in the past. At the end of our 30-minute phone call, he asked me to keep his wife in prayer because of some serious attacks on her health.
Mm.
Next, he asked me to keep in prayer the wife of an award-winning recording artist and preacher friend of ours. According to the doctors, his wife is terminally ill. At that very moment, I realized why God led me to Psalm 6.
That's right. No coincidences.
We shared it with a friend who wrote it down, chapter and verse. He asked me to repeat the scripture in the various translations so he could write it down completely. He said, "That's just the word this woman needs."
Hallelujah.
There are three lessons God taught us through this experience that we want to share with you.
First, while we may have a definite Bible reading program, we must be sure that we are open to God's direction when he starts to change our course.
Yes.
He always does it for a reason. You know, we can take comfort in knowing that Romans 8:14 says this, "For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God."
Second, God always leads us to a passage of Scripture for a purpose.
That's right.
Sometimes we may not know why immediately. It might be for our own personal edification or instruction, but it could also be a word in season at the right time for someone else. We were reminded, honey, as you remember, of 2 Corinthians 1, 3, and 4.
Yes.
2 Corinthians 1, 3, and 4 in the Message Bible. "All praise to God and the Father of our Master, Jesus the Messiah, Father of all mercy, God of all healing counsel."
Yes.
"He comes alongside us when we go through hard times. And before you know it, he brings us alongside someone else who's going through similar hard times so that we can be there for them just as God was there for us.
That has become a favorite scripture of yours.
It really has been.
Third, you may be walking in divine health, and everyone close to you may be healthy. Well, what should we say, from the top of their heads to the bottom of their feet? But God has a message for you in this teaching. At first, well, we thought he wanted us to teach, I'm no good to you, Dad. But then he directed us to write and say the phrase over and over. I'm no good to you, Dad. I'm no good to you, Dad. I am no good to you, Dad. I'm no good to you, Dad. I am no good to you, Dad. I am no good to you, Dad. Are you getting it down your spirit? I'm no good to you, Dad. And suddenly, God gave us the seven words that form a powerful question that he wants us to meditate on and answer. And here it is. What good are you to me alive?
Wow.
That's heavy.
It is.
It is. You know, God didn't really, when we are saved, he doesn't say, you know, I mean, a lot of martyrs have, you know, about, they have died for the cause of Christ. But more important to that is, are we truly living for the cause of Christ?
Come on.
That's it.
So
the question is, what good are you to God alive? Yes, we're no good to God dead. We know that. But what good are we to him alive? Are we willing to fulfill his purpose for our lives? It's a deep question. Do we really know what his purpose is for our life? And if not, have we asked him to reveal the purpose for us occupying space on planet Earth?
Yes.
In James 1:5, in the New Living Translation, it says, if you need wisdom, ask our generous God, and he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. When was the last time you asked him? Just waiting. Are you doing the things that God directed you to do in his word? Here are seven questions that we need to determine about what good we are to God alive.
Well, number one, are you winning the lost? Acts 1:8, Classic Amplified Bible. But you shall receive power, ability, efficiency, and might when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all of Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost ends of the earth. Think about that.
We can personalize it if we needed to.
Yep.
Number two, are you funding the gospel and the Great Commission? Matthew 28:19-20. Matthew 28:19-20 in the Classic Amplified says, go then and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you all the days, perpetually, uniformly, and on every occasion, to the very close and consummation of the age. Amen, and so let it be.
Amen.
Romans 10:15, Classic Amplified says, and how can men be expected to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring glad tidings. How welcome is the coming of those who preach the good news of his good things.
Wow. Number three, are you caring and providing for the widows and orphans? James 1:27. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world.
Number four, are we giving generously to others so that they will praise God for his provision? 2 Corinthians 9:10-11. 2 Corinthians 9:10-11 in the Classic Amplified says, for God is the one who provides seed for the farmer and then bread to eat. In the same way, he will provide and increase your resources and then produce a great harvest of generosity in you. Yes, you will be enriched in every way so that you can always be generous. And when we take your gifts to those who need them, they will thank God.
Amen. Number five, Are you occupying anything other than the couch until he returns?
There you go.
1 Corinthians 4:2, Classic Amplified. Moreover, it is essentially required of stewards that a man should be found faithful, proving himself worthy of trust.
And number 6, are we being successful in whatever our hands find to do? 1 Kings 2:3, which in the New Living Translation says, observe the requirements of the Lord your God and follow all his ways. Keep the decrees, commands, regulations, and laws written in the law of Moses so that you will be successful in all you do and wherever you go.
Well, number 7, what are you doing with the power to get wealth that God gave to you? Luke 19:13, contemporary English version. But before leaving, he called in 10 servants, gave each of them some money. He told them, use this to earn more money until I get back. Our answers to these 7 questions have a direct bearing on the 7-word question. What good are you to me alive? What good are you to me alive? That's what he wants us to answer. We're no good to him dead, but we must examine ourselves to determine what good we are to him alive.
Yes, doing the work of the kingdom.
Think on these things. Hallelujah.
Our example, even, is what we take out daily when we leave the house. Even in the house, we are setting an example for the Lord.
Amen.
That's a lot to think about.
It is. Meditate on these things.
We hope you do.
And until tomorrow morning at 8:30 Eastern, God bless you. Happy trails.
And keep thinking rich thoughts from the Word of God.
We love you. We appreciate you. God bless you. Bye-bye.